Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints Podcast on the UBS Market Moves Podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Good morning, Burkhard. Welcome back to the series. What a week it has been thus far as we are recording on Wednesday, January 29th, only shortly after we talked about the World Economic Forum in Davos. A Chinese startup company, DeepSeek, humbled U.S. technology and energy companies and did take a deep bite out of their respective market caps. However, after Monday's tech rout, markets bounced back, as one might expect. However, investors are still trying to figure out the economic impact of DeepSeek. So I'm curious, Burkhard, to hear about your take.
Well, look, I think that DeepSeek in many ways confirms our roaring 20s scenario, and it really supports the global growth and bull market from where I stand, while obviously it's a step back for NVIDIA and the Mag 7 and U.S. energy companies. It's a step forward for most of the other 493. It's a step forward for AI adopters around the world. That's why the Dow Jones Index on Monday rose 0.7% when DeepSeek took a deep bite out of NVIDIA's capitalization and all the others. And European shares have also continued their impressive run. So I believe that Donald Trump was right to call DeepSeek a wake-up call for U.S. tech companies, because it does what competition is best at. It leverages the power of better ideas. And who wins? It's always consumers. Competition always goes to the benefit of consumers. No doubt DeepSeek will make AI's hardware and software cheaper, better, and more power efficient. It, from where I am, was a dent to the global bull market, but a big step towards the digital revolution, which markets probably still underestimate.
Well, Burkhard, that is some very interesting perspective. However, what do you think this means for the bigger picture of the competition between the AI strategies, respectively, of the United States and China?
Well, ironically, it shows that the U.S.'s export restrictions towards China for strategic technologies such as semiconductor chips didn't weaken, but actually, ironically, strengthened China, because this is real life experience. Necessity is the mother of innovation. And so, having little money and subpar technology, this startup DeepSeek focused all their efforts on creativity and ingenuity. And good enough, that worked. I find that a big relief. I attended three more deep tech conferences since we spoke last week. One was on Friday, which was joined by Eric Schmidt, former CEO and chairman of Google. We had a good and thorough talk during the conference and over dinner, and he made a couple of interesting observations several times. So one thing he said, China's determined to become a global AI leader by 2030. He hadn't anticipated that deep tech would be as fast as it was, and he was deeply impressed when he saw this. And so on the back of that, his judgment was they may well get there. But the geopolitical and the security implications of the global race for AI leadership are very real. You cannot separate the promise and peril of AI, because in 3 or 6 years, AI may well be able to think of its own, enable bad actors, use AI for military purposes. So, yes, more than anything, this is an urgent wake-up call for the U.S. tech industry to step up. And needless to say, that they do have what it takes. Another implication, I think, is while DeepSeek seems to be 20 times more power efficient, more energy efficient than U.S. LLM, the real constraint in the AI race, and this is important, is electric power, not computational power. That's why Europe has no chance to compete with China or the U.S., given their high power prices. But the U.S. must double down on its efforts to come up with, you name it, more efficient CPUs, more efficient algorithms, better cooling technology for data centers, cheaper energy, and much more. That's why the race for critical resources and the national energy emergency are very, very real. And despite DeepSeek, U.S. energy companies will still have plenty of work at their hands the way we look at it.
Well, Burkhardt, it is quite fascinating to hear about those boots on the ground takeaways from the technology conferences you have recently attended. Okay, so let's dig a bit deeper here. You mentioned the national energy emergency of the United States and the global race for resources. What, in your view, is the impact of those profound developments for investors?
Good point. Let me make 3 points here. First, the digital revolution and the energy revolution, or transition, whatever you want to call it, I think are like two sides of the same coin. They're married at the hip and the shoulder. The digital revolution needs more power, electrical power, but the energy transition needs a lot of good ideas. And so we believe that the energy transition will be the most capital-intensive transformation of our time. It'll require more financial, political, and human capital, even more than the reconstruction of post-World War II did. Good enough, politicians will be ready and happy to help by underwriting some of the bills. And at the same time, AI will allow scientists and companies to speed it up. So, you know, it does. Impressive 3 deep tech conferences I just attended, I saw some truly amazing examples of new technologies which can and will speed up the energy transition. It's all happening right here. It'd take us too far if I went into detail, but what I can share with you is, having seen this firsthand, makes me incredibly bullish that the energy transition and the digital revolution will be as transformative as the agricultural and the industrial revolutions of the 17th and the 19th century. Plus, they'll make the world a better place. All said, the energy transition should mobilize investments of around 2 to 3% of GDP in years to come. That's our most conservative estimate. Call this stimulus, call it challenge, call it opportunity, it's all true. But once again, you cannot separate promise from peril. The energy transition is already creating geopolitical frictions around the world. Frankly, mining can be dirty business, literally as well as figuratively. Just look at the trouble in Congo and Africa, where I'm actually heading tonight for the next 6 days, but maybe we'll cover that another good day. Meanwhile, I really think investors should seize the moment. Leaders of the energy transition, companies like Siemens Energy, GE, Hitachi, to name just a few, have handily outperformed NVIDIA and other tech stocks during the past year. I'm just saying this to illustrate that the future has arrived and that this is a really big wave that lifts many boats from around the investing world.
Burkhardt, as always, thank you very much for your clear thoughts and for leaving our listeners, our clients, with good food for thought, and clearly a lot here as we take a look at the AI energy landscapes across the globe to follow up on in future conversations. Also very excited to hear that you're off to Africa tonight. Of course, many beautiful landscapes on the continent, so would love to hear your thoughts as an investor and globetrotter after you return. So until then, Burkhardt, thank you again for your time today, and do look forward to speaking again soon.
Thank you, Dan. As always, great pleasure. Take good care, and looking forward to catching up another good day. Thanks for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.